We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM, radio.com app. I'm on Twitter at WinksThings. Chuck said Chuck Freeman. And not to completely base our show off of a handful of tweets, but maybe four or five times a year this happens, and I see this tweet in different forms really just kind of permeate through Twitter. And if you're not on Twitter, good for you. But also, you may have had this thought, so you could have had this thought independently. The thought would be, what does Ed Cedar have on the Brewers owner that he keeps his job throughout different regimes over and over and over again?
Well, the third base coach will always take criticism, no matter who. The third base coaches they've had over the years, that guy always takes criticism because does he send him, does he not send him? I mean, the third base, Cedar does more on that team than just coach third base. We see him, you know, basically making the decisions over third. But when he makes a bad decision like last night, or we think is a bad decision, that's when it gets glorified.
What do we know that Cedar does? Because there is, I think, we've talked to Eddie Cedar checking in. We've talked to Eddie so much.
Yeah.
And so we like Ed Cedar. I mean, I don't want to be, we like him. Just to be straight up with everybody. We like him. And is that going to affect how we talk about him over the next however many minutes? He does more on the team than just stand there and wave guys around.
Sure.
He's doing, and again, help me where I'm missing things, but he throws BP.
Okay, he throws BP.
He does a lot of the charting. He does a lot. He does a lot of things behind the scenes that I don't even know about, but I can tell you right now, Ed Cedar is like the glue guy of that whole team. Yeah. These guys love Ed Cedar. You know, he loves them. The Ed Cedar is like real life Bernie Brewer. He's like the guy.
You know, throwing batting practice is probably the least of the things that he does that's important. But I mean, he works with the outfielders. He positions the outfielders. You know, with the charting and all that, he knows where. I mean, he goes over with the outfielders. Where they should be playing for certain guys in the outfield, where they should be positioned on certain hitters that come to the plate, and all that sort of thing. So he does that. He's positioning the outfielders when he's in the dugout. He's doing that, and he's going over game plans with the outfielders before games and that sort of thing. But we see Ed mostly because, well, we don't see those things or some of the other things he does. We see him at third base, and when you see him send a guy home like he did last night, I think that might be his most glaring mistake he's made in recent years. I'm sure there's maybe some other ones and all that, but I mean, the situation, what happened last night is there was a man at second, Orlando Arcia singled, and there would have been runners at the corners with two outs in a down 3-0 with Yelich coming to the plate, yet he sent Perez home and he got thrown out. Close play.
It was Kane single.
Kane single, sorry. Yeah. Arcia broke up the no-hitter earlier in the game. Kane singled. And so, but the theory here is, what are you doing sending him? You need three runs in the bottom half of the eighth inning, and one of the hottest hitters in baseball is coming to the plate, and one swing of the bat ties the game at three. And, of course, the error by Cedar was glorified the next inning when Yelich hit like a 700-foot home run off the scoreboard.
Oh, the ball's still traveling.
It is. Well, right off the scoreboard. That was probably one of the furthest hit balls I've seen this season, man. That went right dead on the scoreboard. Off Kenley Jansen, too. So
the official tally is 435 feet.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. And we don't. And that one's, I mean, so unofficial because when it hits the scoreboard near halfway up, you don't know how far that ball really would have traveled. But and so that's why, and then when he homers, it's like Cedar, it makes his mistake even look worse because it's like, man, you got Yelich sitting there. He just, off one of the best relievers in baseball, just hit one 430 feet.
So Christian Yelich has the home run in the ninth. It's his 10th of the year, but that's all the Brewers could muster, and they lose 3-1. And the Brewers, you know, I think any time that they lose a couple in a row, they've lost two in a row. They had a good series against St. Louis, but we're talking yesterday about how good is this team, and now they're sitting at 12-8 in the NL Central, tied for first with the Pirates. You've got the Cardinals right on their tail. The Cubs are quietly winning. So if you proclaim this NL Central to be over in the first week, you're an idiot.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody who's dumb enough to do that.
I certainly wouldn't want anyone to check the tapes.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's right, you did.
Yeah.
They were 8-2 at the time.
Yeah, I mean, forgive me for being a little excited.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm gonna chuck that one up to Bart being all in.
I just got a little excited.
Love at first sight.
Here's how the Central looks, by the way. Pirates are on top. Who are the Pirates been beating? They're 10-6. The Brewers are 12-8. So those teams in a virtual tie for first. Cardinals are 10-8 behind the 12-8 Brewers. So they're a game back of Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. Cubs 8-9, 2.5 back, and the Reds 6-12, 5 back. So Pirates and Brewers on top in the NL Central. Cardinals 1 back, Cubs 2.5 back, and the Reds 5 back. What have the Pirates been up to? I haven't heard anything about them.
They won a couple of games in Detroit this week. I don't know who else they played. That's about it. I mean, the Pirates are 10-6. That's not that big of a deal. The teams really to watch out for. Well, the Cardinals are 10-8, but you know, the only time they've struggled really this year against the Brewers, they've dropped both series. And then, of course, they'll see the Brewers next week at down at Busch Stadium. The Cubs have won 7 of the last 10, including that 3-game sweep in Miami. So the Cubs are, you might say, are the hottest team in the division.
Mike tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You guys can do that. You can chime in 799-1250. Mike says, don't forget Ed Cedar found Hank the dog. Do not forget about that.
Oh, okay. What was that, 2014? 2015?
It was the year that they needed to deflect from Ryan Braun.
Oh, 2012? Was that far back?
I don't know, man. Hank's been around for a while.
Okay. Yeah, because 2011 is when the news broke out in the fall of 2011, so it would have been 2012 season, but then he didn't get suspended to 2013 because of...
So then it might have been 2014.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long.
Whenever
ago.
It was. Yeah.
But Hank was at the ballpark the other day. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, the new Hank? The
fifth Hank? Whatever Hank we're on was at the ballpark the other day because it was weather day.
Yeah.
And so a bunch of kids come, so they want to do a bunch of stuff for the kids.
It wasn't a stuffed animal, Hank?
I don't know. So Adam McKelvey had taken a picture of whatever they're trotting out as Hank these days. And Scooter Jeanette, former Brewer, commented on Adam McKelvey's picture and said, Hank gets smaller and smaller every year.
Does that mean they're not feeding him?
I think Scooter Jeanette's a Hank the dog truther.
Well, Scooter was around. He was around when Hank was found.
Yeah, he would know.
So I guess so.
So he would know Scooter Jeanette, a Hank the dog truther. But the Brewers lose 3-1 last night. Zach Davies pitching well, just 5 innings, though. It took him 97 pitches to get there. And then they pinch hit for him in the 5th inning. Would have liked to see Davies go longer, but at 97 pitches, you're kind of 0-0 game. By the book, you're going to go pinch hitter there most every time.
Yeah. Dodger hitters were really patient against him last night. They were. I mean, they were taking a lot of pitches. They were getting Davies deep into the count. Now, he's pitched well in both of his times against the Dodgers, last Saturday night and last night. or might have been last Friday. You know, one of the games they won in Los Angeles. He pitched well, and then he pitched well last night, but he ran the high pitch count. But the Dodgers had a really good game plan against him, and then the Dodgers attacked Matt Albers, the first man out of the chute in the sixth inning.
Yeah, a couple home runs off Matt Albers. Davies, by the way, in four outings, has a 1.19 ERA. Has given up two runs in his first game against the Reds. That was a win. Then against the Cubs, no earned runs. That was a win. Against the Dodgers, the last time out, seven innings, one earned, six Ks. That was a win. So this is the first time that Davies has thrown and the Brewers have lost. But that 1.19 ERA looks very good. And of everybody that you could look at, your opening day starter, Chacin, the three young guys, it's been Zach Davies who's been the best pitcher in that rotation.
Yeah, how about that? A guy we didn't even know was going to be in the starting rotation this year, coming out of camp. He earns the five hole on the team, the fifth starting pitcher, and he's been the best guy out of all these guys. You know, a guy who you couldn't trust in the postseason last year, and so far so good. And just keep him there, hopefully.
Let's see. This comes in on Twitter at 105.7 FM. The Fan from J0393-2219. You can get a better name than that, bud. He says, the only person who proclaimed the Brewers NL champs week one, Bart. Yeah, I got a little excited.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
That's okay.
Got just a little.
Did you want to take it back?
No, I think they'll still win the Central.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too.
So.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to, you got to be there with me, man. I picked them last year, and I'm picking them there again this year.
Yeah,
and
the Cubs are going to be there. I feel good about that.
Cubs and Cardinals are going to be there. It's going to be a three-teamer. You know, the Brewers aren't, and they may not even stay in first place all season long.
No.
They could get challenged. They're going to, you know, they could fall a couple games back, but it's going to be a fun summer again.
Long season. Again, if you put it into the NFL terms, there's 162 games. There's 16 games in the NFL. We're about 2 weeks into the NFL right now, and the Brewers are in first place. Yeah. So everything will be fine. The schedule has been very daunting. It's been very annoying seeing the same teams over and over and over again, especially the Dodgers and the Cardinals and then the Cubs. So, you know, the Brewers will eventually play teams that aren't like the elite class of the National League, and then we'll go from there. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Perkins, where for $9.99, you can get the burger, fries, and a slice of pie combo. Burgers, big, thick Angus burgers, stacked high. If you get the classic cheeseburger, everything you're accustomed to, the lettuce, the onions, everything that you want on a burger, the pickles. Now, the breakfast burger might be an option for those of you like right now. You're thinking about lunch already. You know it's Friday. But a patty, the Angus burger with an egg and hash browns and bacon and cheese, it's pretty good. The breakfast burger is available too. And then you get fries and then you get a slice of pie and you get all that for $9.99. Check that out this weekend. Also tomorrow, kids eat free after 4 o'clock. So you bring your kid, you eat a meal, they'll get a kid's meal for free at Perkins Tuesdays and Saturdays after 4. We'll have your Brew Crew review coming up. More on this game last night and through 20 games. The thing that's been the most surprising to you, what we'll want to know from you. 414-799-1250. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Brewers fall 3-1 last night in what was probably a winnable game. Eighth inning, Eddie Cedar sends Hernan Perez when maybe he shouldn't have. Next batter up was the next inning. It was Christian Yelich who hit a home run. So a one-run home run possibly could have been a three-run home run. Different situations, sure, but just adds insult to injury. Zach Davies was going along very well, competing with what the Dodgers were throwing, which was a no-hitter, until Hernan Perez finally broke it up in the middle innings. But Matt Albers, not good in this one, giving up a couple of long balls. The rest of the bullpen doing all right. Barnes, Jeffress, Petrushka all throwing a scoreless frame. Matt Albers sort of the goat in a bad way in this one. And then Ed Cedar tried to take that mantle away from him. So the Brewers, Chuck, fall 3-1, 12-8 now on the year.
Yeah, we had the no-hitter pool going up in the press box last night. Thinking that, Urias is kind of, they're putting him back out in the bullpen. So he was making a start last night, but they're moving him out to the bullpen. But he looked really good. He looked really good until the base hit there in the fifth inning. But yeah, I mean, I think the Brewers, you know, they lost the opener. They've lost two in a row. But it was one of those nights where you knew it, that the offense just was stuck in mud. It was a quiet night, as Council usually says on those kind of nights.
Brewers 12-8, tied for first in the NL Central. They continue a series with the Dodgers tonight, 7-10, 6-10 tomorrow, 1-10 on Sunday. They do not know who is going to throw for them yet, unless they've said something that I missed, but they need a starter tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they know. They're just not telling us. You know, they play the Dodgers, so they're not going to... He might, Council before the game today, might unveil his starter. Could be Chase Anderson. I don't think it'll be Wilkerson, but it could be Chase. It could be Chase, and then bullpen be ready on Saturday night against Kershaw, and then Monday, which is supposed to be the start for Corbett Burns. They haven't made a decision on that yet either. They still their Council yesterday said they're still in conversations, but I think they probably made a decision on that.
I still think it's going to be Burns Monday.
I wouldn't be surprised. But he's not tipping his hand just yet.
Well, especially because you have two spots to fill here. Yeah. You've got Freddie's spot tomorrow, and then you've got, I guess, Burns' spot, which if you want to count that as a spot to fill. Again, this was the plan that they had coming into this year, that they were going to go with all these young pitchers. They had to have a backup plan in case two of them are struggling, one's hurt, and then Corbin Burns can't get out of these games without giving up multiple home runs. I still think they throw him and hope for the best, but he's going to have to face the Cardinals already for the third time this season down at Busch. So that's going to be, you know, interesting. As far as Saturday, it could be Chase. It could be, you know, I also think we're still sort of in like, well, you need a guy. You lost a guy that can throw five innings. You need a guy that can throw five innings. The Rays yesterday, they threw at a guy for two innings and three innings and two innings. They do bullpen days all the time, or start with an opener and then have a middle guy. I mean, Brewers could very easily do something like that on Saturday.
Although I think with the Brewers situation, they are very careful not to burn out that bullpen this year. And, you know, especially with guys like Hader, and took down a couple of guys out of that bullpen. They could go with Adrian Houser, call him up from AAA, and he could pitch maybe Saturday or Monday. But I think my feeling is they're going to go with Burns one more time Monday and then maybe Chase tomorrow night. I mean, Chase hasn't been bad in this long relief role, and maybe they go with him for three or four innings on Saturday and bullpen it the rest of the way.
Yeah, they could do that. I think they still ride Burns for a while yet. I mean, if he really gets shelled on Monday, if he pitches.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that...
The Cardinals got him figured out.
I don't know how many more options you've got. That's the problem. Although playing the Cardinals for the third time is also the problem. We're asking you guys this morning, 799-1250, on Twitter, Facebook as well. What's been the biggest surprise, good or bad, to the start of this Brewers season? I think for me it is Corbin Burns. It's also the schedule. I'm like really annoyed at the schedule. I mean, we knew it was going to be tough, but I'm just sick of seeing the same teams over and over already.
Yeah.
I'm sick of seeing the Dodgers. I'm sick of seeing the Cardinals. It's going to be the third series against the Cardinals next week.
Yeah. They'll be done with the Cardinals for a while. What a stupid schedule. I mean, you just played the Dodgers in the postseason, and then, you know, you play seven right off the bat with those guys, and, you know, then you're done. I mean, spread it out a little bit. And they have the Cardinals. The Cardinals have been here twice already. I mean, what sense does that make? Schilt, the manager for the Cardinals, I walked in to do the post-game interview the other day on the Cardinals side. He looked right at me and smiled. He goes, "You again?" I said, "Yeah, you're probably getting tired of seeing us." And he goes, and he said, "Well, you know what? We've been in Milwaukee," he told me. He says, "We've been in Milwaukee more times than we've been in St. Louis. We've stayed overnight in Milwaukee more times than we've had home games this year and stayed overnight at home in St. Louis." How about that? That's how dumb the schedule is.
Well, one of the things I don't like about the schedule, the way baseball does it in general, is that you play your division opponents so many times. You play them 19 times. So Cardinals, I mean, you know who's in the NL Central. And then the other teams, like the Dodgers or the Mets or the Rockies or Arizona or any other team non-Central, you play six or seven times, which So right now the Brewers are playing the Dodgers, and it seems like they're almost a division opponent because you just saw them at the end of last year. You're seeing them now. But then you're not going to play the Dodgers the rest of the season.
Is there a team
that seems stupid?
When they come in the division, when they come to Miller Park or the Brewers are playing on the road, you're like, oh, man. I mean, I'm just not excited to see them. I'm never excited to see the Pirates. The Pirates just don't do anything for me. You know, I could take the Reds. Of course, when the Cardinals and Cubs are here, yeah. But, God, the Pirates, I feel they play the Pirates like 35 times a year.
Yeah, well, a lot of these times, too, it's like they play the Pirates on the road one weekend, and then they'll play them at home the next. And so this thing that's happening with the Dodgers and Cardinals, if you look at the schedule, it'll probably happen with the Pirates and the Reds at some point because you play them so many times. I told you a couple weeks ago I'm tired of the Cubs. I mean, I'm over the whole rivalry thing. I'm over every time they come here. It's, you know, the fans. We talk about the fans. I'm over going down there. I'm over playing them. I'm just, you play these teams so many times that I'm just kind of, I'm like over the NL Central.
I wish we played.
But now they're playing the Dodgers so much, I'm over the Dodgers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because we saw the Dodgers in 7 games.
Can we just like go to the AL for a year so I can enjoy it more?
It'd be great if we could play some of these other teams from the division, other divisions, more than one homestand a year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like the teams in the East, Washington is here one time a year.
Yeah, they all just come here one time.
Yeah. But yet the Pirates are here 15 times, I feel. 15 different road trips here. And the Reds and the Cubs and all that. So, I mean, it's like a little variety once in a while. I mean, the Phillies. The Phillies are here Memorial Day weekend. Right? The Phillies were supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball this year, and you know, with Bryce Harper. Memorial Day weekend, and that's it. They're here for 3 days, and then never see them again. Yet we'll see the teams from our division all the time. And like I said, the Cardinals twice so far. Two different homestands with these guys, and we're just past tax day, and we've already seen the Cardinals 6 times and 3 more times next week in St. Louis.
You know, maybe that's something that baseball can look at with, like, attendance. I don't know if, like, you know, because sometimes you see the ballpark and there's a lot of empty seats. And even the first week against the Cubs, there were more empty seats than you would have thought. Because you play these, you can see them all the time. The Brewers and baseball in general, I think is more about when you can go, because they play all summer long. So it's more about, can I go this weekend? Can we get a party going? Can we get a bus going? Are we free tonight? It's more about when you can go than who are they playing? Who's the opposing pitcher? What star is in town? You know, like with basketball, oh, the Warriors are coming. You got to go see them. LeBron's going to be in town. Got to go see him. Oh, the Thunder with Westbrook, Harden on the Rockets, I got to go see these guys. I think in baseball, it's more about the convenience than it is the other team. And when you have 10 options each year to see the Pirates and, you know, 3 to see the Dodgers, you know, probably, if you do pick based on those kind of teams, you're going to go see the Dodgers.
I think baseball, more than the other sports, giveaways too. Like when they have the Sunday giveaway, the bobblehead or whatever they give it away. That baseball has got a long-standing tradition of when they give stuff away, as we know here in Milwaukee, they'll fill the place up. It could be rain jacket day. They'll fill the place up. Or a bat day like they used to have. Or like this Sunday, I believe it's Jeffress. I don't know, 2 Sundays from now, it'll be Jeffress bobblehead day against the Mets. So when they have the bobblehead day, sure. I mean, I think fans are attracted to, oh, they're giving something away. Let's spend $100 on tickets, 2 tickets.
Game of Thrones night.
Game
Saturday.
Of Thrones tonight. Yeah, is that Friday or Saturday? Is that Saturday? Okay. Which I never watched the show, but you're going to see people dressed in the stadium on that.
Yeah, I'll stay home.
Yeah, I'll be there. And I have no idea when they show these people on the scoreboard. But
and they'll do different names for the Brewers.
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
It'll be like Therius Magarius Braun.
Uh-huh.
And you'll be like, what the?
You know, it's they honor Jackie Robinson with the 42 once a year in April. But let's face it, though. When you're watching a game sometimes and you're seeing 42s all over, it's like, hey, did they make a pitching change? Or is that still the same guy? Because he's 42. Because if you're sitting far enough away, you can't tell. Because they're all 42s on the field. You can't tell if they made a switch or if there's a pinch hitter coming to the on deck show. That can be confusing at times.
You heard it here first. Chuck hates Jackie Robinson.
No.
799.
No. No. No, they definitely should honor him. But it's just, if you're sitting in the upper deck, you're looking, it's like, oh, is that, did they make a defensive replacement out in the right field? Who made that catch? 42. When everybody's 42. But for one day, we can handle it.
Well, it's for a good thing.
Of course.
You know, your book might get messy one day.
Yeah. Well, no. Just watching the game, it's like, okay, they bring in a new pitcher? Who is this guy? Oh, it's the same guy. 42. They're all 42.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk some NBA coming up as the playoffs sort of not too thrilling last night. The good teams are starting to win the games they're supposed to win. We'll talk about that preview tomorrow night between the Bucks and the Pistons. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM, and all over this fine planet of ours on the radio.com app. Sport.
Iguodala, another offensive rebound. How hot is KD? He's got 38 now!
Kevin, did you try to make it a point to come out and kind of remind people exactly who you are with all the talk that's been going on in this series?
I've been here for 12 years, and I'm 30. I don't need to show nobody nothing at this point.
Oh, there you go. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. The Golden State Warriors get back on track last night over the L.A. Clippers, 132-105. That series 2-1.
Yeah, what a dumb question that guy asked. Oh, what a stupid question. Did you have to make your presence? Can you hear that again?
Wow, okay.
What a dumb question.
Sure. This was last night after the game.
Yeah, Kevin, did you try to make it a point to come out and kind of remind people exactly who you are with all the talk that's been going on in this series?
I've been here for 12 years, and I'm 30. I don't need to show nobody nothing at this point.
Yeah, he had to score 38 for people to recognize him. I mean, come on.
What's wrong with the question?
That's a stupid question. What? Did you come out here and make a point so people can remember who you are? Kevin Durant? Seriously? Yeah, I think LA was well aware who Kevin Durant was.
I mean, nobody forgot who he was, but he's been struggling in this series, and Pat Beverly's been owning him. So, yeah, I think it was pretty easy to predict that Kevin Durant would have a big night last night, and that's what the question is.
He didn't just sit there and say, Durant, oh, you know what, I need to go out there and make sure people know who I am. Remember, I'm still around in this series.
Baloney,
so I'm
going to
go lay a 38 spot
on the team. That's exactly what he did.
He was just shut down. He had a great game. He had a typical. He struggled in the first two games, and he just went out there and played. And he's right. He's Kevin Durant.
He didn't go out there and play. He had like 8 points within 2 minutes. He went to make a statement last night.
No, Kevin Durant went out and just was
Kevin Durant, the most insecure player in the league.
Durant was great. Durant was great. He always is great. He didn't have to prove anything to anybody.
That's incorrect.
Who does he got to prove it to?
Himself.
Oh, he's great. He didn't have to prove it to anybody. He's the best.
These guys need chips on their shoulders. He had one and he executed.
38. But you know what?
Just like how Rodgers is going to have 5,000 yards this year and 60 touchdowns.
You know, if Durant had.
Because of Tyler Dunn.
Durant had scored.
He should get a Super Bowl ring.
30 points in each of the first games, and nobody would have said, well, geez, you come out with a chip on your shoulder in game three.
But he didn't have 30 points.
But he doesn't need a chip on his shoulder to score 38 points in the game. He's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, man. He doesn't need any chip on his shoulder. He's been around for 12 years. People know who he is. And he doesn't need any motivation to go out there.
I think you're misinterpreting the question.
Yeah, that's a stupid. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously Durant thought it was a dumb question, too.
Well, Durant thinks every question's a dumb question.
You know, Durant does have a chip on his shoulder, but he's had a chip on his shoulder for many years. He never was this kind of guy in Seattle. When he went to Oklahoma City, people liked him. You know, he donated to the they had some natural, they had a tornado disaster down there, and he donated to that. But I feel like the older he's getting, he is getting a little chippy. But still, what? I mean, he's still a great player.
That's because, Chuck, there's this thing that happens in sports where when guys like violate women's bodies, we'll say, or commit some sort of heinous act, they're not as vilified as guy who leaves town to go to different town. Guy who moves. Guy who moves is more vilified than guy who punches woman with fist. Durant's vilified for moving.
Well, I mean, people got to get.
We want our guys to win championships. That's how we rank them historically. And Durant's like, all right, I'll go win some championships. No.
Yeah,
you move to do it. You're bad.
So, but if the team would have traded for him, then it's not Durant's fault. I never have a problem with the super teams, whether teams trade for guys or, you know, free agents join a team. I wish we were a super team. I'm jealous that, you know, Durant doesn't come here.
We are a super team, son.
Well, we are. Not yet. I don't think so.
We got two all-stars.
We got a great team.
Brogdon.
Yeah, we got a great team.
Got Bled.
We don't have Hall of Famers up and down that roster except for number 34. But no, son.
And Chris
we don't.
Middleton.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Maybe the South Carolina Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Should we do a Is Chris Middleton a Hall of Famer?
In South Carolina, maybe high school. He was a 2-time McDonald's All-American there.
You know what we need to start doing on the show is coming up with topics and tweets that get more assaulted than what they come up with on the big show. Did you see the tweet last night?
Did they do it again?
Oh, yeah. They got killed last night again on their show.
Well, for today's topic? I feel like on Fridays they come up with absurd topics.
Well, they had one yesterday.
Oh, it was a Thursday. Okay.
Yeah, they did a topic on this. This tweet got ratioed hard. If the Bucks win the NBA title this year, would you give a ring to Herb Cole, John Hammond, and or Jason Kidd?
Oh, man. Must have been a slow day again yesterday. No. No and no. And if they did, who cares? Right? I mean, honestly.
I'd give one to Herb Cole.
Herb Cole's 99 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go buy a ring in Walmart and give it to Herb and say it's the NBA championship.
I mean, Herb
ring.
Cole is.
Well, he know. Just go tell Herb Cole he won the finals. Yeah. Will he even know?
John Hammond doesn't want anything to do with the Milwaukee Bucks anymore. So if they gave him a championship ring,
John Hammond, he ain't getting no ring.
He'd throw it back at him. Yeah.
And then the other guy in that tweet,
the way
was,
the ownership treated him and kicked him out. No.
Do you have a comment on Jason Kidd getting a ring?
Jason Kidd? Absolutely not.
Jason Kidd can't even get a ring, as in his phone to ring.
I would give
to coach again. He's not getting an NBA championship ring.
How about this? I might give Thon Maker a ring ahead of him. Yeah. Hey. Don here was here half a season.
Well, let's give Larry Sanders a ring. He's still on the payroll.
Yeah, hey, you can get Sanders one, sure. How about that short comeback of Sanders? Is he anywhere now? Is he playing basketball? Is he doing anything? Is he overseas? Is he helping out anybody?
Who deserves a ring more, Jorge Gutierrez or Spencer Hawes?
More so than Jason Kidd, I'd say.
799-1250. So then they put that up, and then Damian replied, "Wow, another show, another way to twist sports talk into a liberal love fest for Herb Cole."
Okay, what? Who won the poll? Who won?
Well, we were all losers. Nobody won.
So they never got it off the ground?
Most people said that we could give one to Herb Cole, Hammond no, and then are you effing serious about Jason Kidd?
I love the afternoon show. I love those guys. We do. But do those guys sit around and yesterday and say, well, we need to come up with the top. How about this? Who deserves a ring more? This guy, this guy, this guy. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Let's go for it.
Okay. I think what happens is, we do our show. We get some tweets, you know, and then our boss is looking at the Twitter metrics, and then he's like, man, we got to bump up the engagement today. And then he goes into the big show's office and says, can you guys just put up anything to get responses?
Just put out the most wacky thing you can.
Jason Kidd getting a ring if the Bucks win the championship. Could you guys do that?
Yes.
And see what happens?
Those guys in the morning show had Mike Budenholzer on. What can you guys... Oh, they didn't. What can you guys do to top it? Sorry.
Say David Stearns.
David Stearns.
Yeah.
David Stearns. That's better, yeah.
Yeah, those guys had an interview with Marcus Johnson. It was really good. It was informative. They talked to Eddie Doucette. It brought back a lot of memories. Didn't have a lot of buzz on Twitter, though. We do need more Twitter buzz. All right, Jason Kidd getting an NBA championship ring.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Vic Mitchum says it's like if the Packers won the Super Bowl this year and gave a ring to Ray Rhodes.
1999, man. Well, they would have given if they would have given one in 2010, he would have been two coaches removed because the guy after him was Sherman, and then Sherman led us to Mike McCarthy.
The other games last night, the Spurs beat the Nuggets. So that series is 2-1 now. Nuggets had the home court advantage, but the Spurs winning game three at their home. So they're up 2-1. And then the Sixers, they win 2-1, or they're leading 2-1. They win 131-115. Had the game in hand for most of it. Brooklyn came back late in the third, but then Philly pulled away in the fourth. No Joel Embiid again, who again played the will I play or will I not play game, and then eventually did not play. Greg Monroe got the start and had 9 points and 13 boards. So Joel Embiid, I don't know if he's just resting. I don't know if he's legitimately hurt. I don't know if he's bored or didn't want to play or had to look at Amir Johnson's phone some more. But Joel Embiid, if the Bucks have to play the Sixers at some point, it seems like this will he or won't he is going to be like a trend of these players.
Oh, God. And we'll be talking about that. Well, if every show, before every game, it'll be a qualifier. Well, can the Bucks win? Well, is Embiid going to be playing tonight? No, he's not. Can Ben Simmons have the game he had last night again tonight? No. Well, I hope he continues that drama. And that knee pain, if he does, I mean, he's obviously got knee pain. But the drama, if he continues this on, it's only a distraction for the Sixers. It's only a distraction for the Sixers. I don't know what his deal is, but apparently wasn't healthy enough to play last night. They still won, though.
And it's not like, see, when Joel Embiid is like, will he or won't he, then you often hear, that makes the opponent scheme for both situations. I disagree with that. You scheme for Joel Embiid, and if he's not playing, then you're up against Boban and Greg Monroe.
Yeah, these guys,
they are worse than Embiid.
I don't think it's going to bother a guy like Budenholzer.
That's why when I say, like, are they going to play Rodgers or Hundley? You scheme for Rodgers, and if he doesn't play, Hundley sucks.
Hundley's not going to beat you.
Or Kaiser now.
And
he ain't going to beat you.
No.
So you don't waste your time scheming for a guy who's not good. Scheme for the guy that's good, and then if he doesn't play, it's like a bonus.
Yeah, well, I mean, the offense runs a little differently without Embiid out there, and obviously Simmons picked up the slack last night, had a big night. But if Embiid doesn't play, you're just like, oh, good, I don't have to deal with that guy tonight.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Joel Embiid will probably be an answer to a question that we've had for a while. We're going to ask you today, of the Eastern Conference, the three guys that scare you the most. So the Bucks are likely going to run up against the Celtics. If they win that series, they're going to run up against either the Sixers or Toronto, it would appear. Not the teams. We talk a lot about the teams. But who are the three players that scare you the most in the entire East? We'll go through ours. We'll want to hear from you guys. Internet, phones, email, however you can contact us, we'll want to hear from you. 414-799-1250. In the Eastern Conference playoffs, the three guys that scare you the most. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Good luck with the Celtics in the next round. We'll see you win it all then.
Yeah. When the Celtics punch him in the mouth.
Punch him in the mouth when the Celtics beat him. We'll see how that goes for them.
All right, so yesterday we got wind of some conversations that were going down on, I got to say it, the way, Pharrell on the bench. You like my Pharrell? I do a good Pharrell, but who doesn't?
You know what? I'm just not a big Pharrell guy. I'm not.
Hey, Mafia, like the Penguins tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. Good one. But I'm just not a big guy. I'm just not a fan of the show. You know, they've had him on as a guest on Bill's show, and he's been a good guest. I like some of the things he talks about.
Bill,
he talks
great about, to be here. Great to be with you in the city of Milwaukee. I love it there.
Yeah,
what's up?
Yeah, I mean, he's talks about the
Pharrell on the bench.
Radio
good to have
business.
You on a Friday. It's a weird Friday, Pharrell. Good to have you on the show. Hey, what do you think about the...
That's not Bill Michaels, is it?
Brewers, yeah.
No, I like your Pharrell's better.
You do Pharrell's better.
I can't do it. I'm horrible. I was telling the guys at the ball game
do
last
night. Do a Bill.
Oh, I can't do one. I was doing an impersonation of another media guy in our city yesterday, but who nobody would know about. The one you do a good impersonation
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
On another radio station, but I'm horrible at impersonations. I'm just horrible at them. I mean, you do a nice job with them, but not the Bill one.
Who's your best impersonation?
The guy who works for another radio station in town. Yeah, who's a friend of ours. But who's yours?
I can do Jeff Wagner at another radio station.
Did you do that one well?
And the in the newsroom, it's Jeff Wagner.
That is
the
very
Milwaukee
good.
Brewers are a particular team I quite enjoy.
Very good. You do that at Cedar, yeah.
Eddie Cedar, well, checking in.
Cedar and Wagner, a combination.
Yeah, any nasally higher voices.
A little bit.
Normally where I try to go.
I do.
I like to do Sean McDonough.
Can you do Sparky? Coming up at 2. Coming up on the show at 2.
No, you do a better Sparky than me.
That's yours.
No, that was good. I'm not going to rival it.
Okay. I just, impersonations.
Mike Clements. Mike and Cedar and, you know, the Wagner one I just did, they're all kind of the same.
You got the inflections on Clements.
Yeah. But Pharrell on the bench, I think everybody can do a Scotty Pharrell.
Yeah. Just got to have, bring your voice down to a gravel.
Give me a Pharrell. Give me your best Pharrell.
All right, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk, should the Bucks, you take the Bucks minus the 8 tonight in Detroit? I kind of like the Pistons to win this game.
That just sounds like you during your 6 o'clock update when you're sick.
Or my voice was like that last night. I was at the game last night. I was like, man, I feel like I'm losing my voice.
Well, you're burning it on both ends, bud.
Yeah, I think somebody told me that. And I said, man, you're all here a little bit too much this week. And I said, yeah, maybe that's it. But I think my voice is okay today.
So we want to know from you guys the 3 players in the East that scare you the most if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan.
Did you tell me before the show today they threw a howitzer back at us again overnight? No?
So that was just a clip of a guy they call Carver High. His name's Mike Carver.
Yeah, we kind of owned him last night.
Well, they think they owned us again last night.
Oh,
so,
they did?
Yeah, in about 20 minutes, we'll play the audio from Pharrell on the bench, and we'll hear their reaction. And just my biggest problem with American people these days, and really people in general, is the hypocritical nature of how we've become as a society, and Carver High is like the poster boy of that. So I will we'll dissect that coming up, because I a lot of people were tweeting me, DMing me last night. They were talking about us at like 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And they called us the zany morning crew over there in Milwaukee.
I want to hear the Bill Michaels impersonation again. Do a full-blooded Bill Michaels. Coming out of a break, right to talking about something.
I'll start the next hour as Bill.
Okay.
In 3 minutes.
All right.
We'll start his bill. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins.
It's a zany Friday.
Yeah, it's a zany Friday. It's a weird Friday.
Who should get a ring? We can do that. Who shouldn't?
Which Packers position are you most confident about?
Oh, jeez. Oh, who should the Packers draft in the middle rounds? Who should they be targeting? We can do that.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.